My colleague David Haglin, who's the literary editor of NewYorker.com, has dropped by the office, and he's going to tell me what he's into these days, because that's the only way I ever know anything.
Well, and, you know, these days lately, I've been looking for the things that reliably cheer me up, pick me up, divert me from some of the more awful things in the world. So I have found myself going...
That's not pharmacological.
That's right. Not non-pharmacological options.
Good.
Do you know Mitchell and Webb? You know that comedy team?
Don't quiz me.
Okay. Let me tell you about Mitchell and Webb.
David, much better.
David Mitchell and Robert Webb, these two British comedians, they met at Cambridge in the early 90s. And they're probably best known for a sitcom that they had called Peep Show, which is very funny. But they also had a sketch show called That Mitchell and Webb Look. And my introduction to it was a sketch about an editor. And I like to watch it because it makes me feel like maybe I'm not so bad at my job.
You're not wasting your life.
Well, I'm not sure it convinces me of that. But basically when I watch it, I know I'm not as bad as that guy. In this sketch, David Mitchell, who's often the brainy one, he comes in. He's an author. He's gone to see his editor. And he's telling him about his latest book.
So at the end of chapter two, Henry is beginning to question his own motives in pursuing the case, and at the same time wondering whether Sarah is telling him the whole story about the divorce.
Yeah, I'm just going to stop you there, Anthony.
Sure.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, we've just reached the end of chapter two, and I can't for the life of me tell you what the hell's going on. I mean, you know, Henry, Sarah, these are just words, really.
Right.
I mean, it's great, it's all great, Anthony, obviously, but I just wonder, I mean, just as an example, I mean, not this, I mean, not this at all, don't do this, but what if, say, the main character dies at the end of chapter one? I mean, not that, but I mean, something like that. I mean, not like that, but yeah. I mean, what if, I mean, not this, ignore this. What if Henry, although obviously not, if he had sex, I mean, not sex, but sex.
Well, that's a great tribute to editors and what they do, isn't it?
Right, exactly. The next time I say, not this, but, yeah. I will remember to stop myself and think again, think a little harder about what I really want to suggest.
What else have you been listening to or reading?
So this is not a quiz, I promise, but are you a crossword puzzle person at all? Do you do the crossword puzzle?
Only on Mondays when I can finish them.
Okay.
It goes downhill from there.
So I find myself becoming increasingly fond of and dependent on the New York Times crossword puzzle. And there's a blog called Rex Parker Does the New York Times Crossword Puzzle, where and the guy who writes it is not actually named Rex Parker. His real name is Michael Sharp. And every day he does the puzzle and then he writes a little review. And it actually is a model of criticism. He's very opinionated, and he makes you appreciate the art of crossword puzzle construction. He's very good on the politics of crossword puzzles, too.
What are the politics of crossword puzzles?
Well, if you think about it, crossword puzzles are a test of what we think of as common knowledge. So, but who's common knowledge, right?
And what are the assumptions?
A lot of cultural references from the 60s and 70s.
Right, a lot of Arlo Guthrie.
Yeah.
Not so much hip-hop.
Yeah. Michael Sharp, he's very good on these things, and he makes you aware of what you're doing in a way that I really appreciate. And then I go back to doing the crossword puzzle.
Does it make you better at the crossword puzzle?
A little bit. Because you notice that, I mean, obviously, there are certain words, certain phrases that get used, reused all the time.
Like what?
You know, like Esai Morales, E-S-A-I, very good four-letter word for the crossword puzzle. And that guy, by having that, being the most famous Esai in the United States is...
So is it more about cultural assumptions or more about maximum vowels?
It's a little bit of both, a little bit of both. I mean, you know, for instance, maybe there's another Esai. For a long time, R-A-E, right, Ray. You know, Ray Armantrout showed up recently, which was nice as a fan of her work.
Interesting. And what else you've been reading or listening to?
So the last thing I've been turning to a lot recently is music of Lee Moses. And I have a weakness for sort of forgotten or largely forgotten pop musicians. And Lee Moses, he grew up in Atlanta, came to New York in the 1960s, recorded one album, came out in 1971, and that was it. It wasn't a success. He went back to Atlanta, never recorded again. Died in 1997. But over the years, it has built up this kind of cult following. And it's great, and it cheers me up every time I hear it.
The OJs would be happy.
As am I after I hear that song.
Me too. Thanks for coming by, David. Always good to see you.
Good to see you too, David.
David Hagelin is an editor at The New Yorker, and you can find links to the comedy duo Mitchell and Webb, the Rex Parker crossword blog, and the soul singer Lee Moses at newyorkerradio.org.